I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. So we were talking a little bit about the Guardians, and they'll play later this afternoon. They wrap up that series with the Diamondbacks sitting 3.5 back on that wild card spot. And it's kind of where they are. You would kind of question whether the season is heading towards an ending here or if they could have got one more big run in them to try to get to the playoffs. And again, you still got a little bit of time. I mean, I'm not going to really throw up the... They would have to fall at least 6-7 back in the wild card for me to say it's over, if that is prior to the 31st, though. I think everything changes on September 1st, because that last month always seems to fly by. And there's other distractions going on, and you start looking at other stuff. So I just the key is they cannot fall. I actually think 5 is probably right. What do you think?
Wild card?
Yeah,
I don't think all those teams ahead of the Mandy are going to play great ball the rest of the way. I think somebody's going to slip.
So you're saying the Mariners, the Yankees, or the Red Sox?
Somebody has to slip up a little bit.
And now the Royals.
One of those teams can probably be had, but not the way our team's playing. Mm-mm. The team's been a little streaky. The big losing streak, and then turn around and having a great big winning streak, and now they've lost 4 of their last 5, I believe it is. They've got to get just a little more consistency, because you take that big losing streak and then take that great run and now take 4 out of the last 5. If you add it all up, what do you have? A 500 baseball team.
And that's what they are in the standings.
Right. And so they've got to get hot and stay hot for an extended period of time here. And I don't mean win 20 in a row, although that would be handy. Mm-hmm. But you win every series the rest of the way, Andy, I'll bet they make the wild card.
They got to win series. You're right. I don't think they're better than the Mariners. I'll be honest with you. I don't think they're better than the Mariners. I don't think they're better than the Red Sox. And I don't think they're better than the Yankees.
I agree with you, but that doesn't mean they can't get there.
Yeah. What do you think, Dan?
The Yankees are the ones I would circle. There's something weird going on with them.
Yeah, get past them.
Yeah.
There's something weird going on with that team.
I wonder if it's Boone's last year there.
Yeah. It kind of just seems very stale, would be the word I would use to pick the Yankees right now. I think the Mariners are one of the better teams in baseball.
And they loaded up.
I do, too.
They're really good.
Yeah, they loaded up.
That's a really good team.
They were in it to win it at the
deadline.
And
that Red Sox team can hit. I mean, they hit, and they hit again and hit more. You can kind of get to their starting pitching. You can get to their bullpen a little bit, but, boy, they score runs. And especially after the Devers trade, they've taken off, which is weird.
Hmm. Thomas Shaker. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Thomas.
Hey. I'm going to take off speaker. So I'm kind of not feeling too positive. I'm not feeling it this year. I don't know if you're, I don't think that we have chops this year. We do play the Mariners and the Red Sox back-to-back series. So the World Big Series, and both of those series are home, I believe. So, I mean, we take 4 out of 6 from them, but even still, it just feels like, I know there's still a month and a half left. It just doesn't feel like they got the momentum. I mean, they're struggling against the Diamondbacks right now. I just don't feel good at all.
Yeah. And the Braves didn't feel good either. Thank you, Thomas. Appreciate it. All right. Over the weekend, MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred started talking about expansion and an opportunity to geographically realign both of those. Let me start this with both of you guys, because I just want to ask you this question. Do you feel like there is a bond for the Guardians to have to play any given team in the league? And it's not really the rival question. It might be more of you would be disappointed, and it'd be there'd be no advantage for the Guardians to lose
Detroit.
Okay, so there's one. Is there any other team that they need to play?
Oh, we could look at the geography on this.
The Yanks. I mean, that's always one for me is the Yanks.
But they're not going to end up in the same division.
You mean
division.
Like in a division, Dan, or you mean just to play them during the season?
It seemed right now like if we're having who are the biggest rivals for the Guardians that they must play? The Yankees right now are them, because that's the roadblock. Every time they face them in the playoffs, that seems to be the roadblock.
That's very true. But the Yankees might be that for most every team in the American League.
Right.
And so I'm just, are you looking division, Andy, or are you just thinking, Are you going to play everybody every year?
The way it is now,
you're going to play everybody.
Okay, so let me give you the Athletic said, the Athletic went in and did their American League realignment. They did it as the American League realignment. And they're not looking beyond the boundaries of what is American League and National League, which I think is
You mean the teams that are actually in the American League now, they didn't change leagues.
They did not, but they did add Portland or Salt Lake City.
Well, they're not East.
No, and they would be in the new AL West,
right? They might be West.
So let me give you what the Athletic said would be the new American League realignment. Toronto, New York, Boston, Baltimore is the AL East. Any problems with that?
Anybody? Yeah, you know who you could put in there? You could put Tampa. Toronto with us.
Well, guess what? Well,
I mean, you got that's pretty much the AL East right now, then.
Yeah, I know.
It doesn't make a ton of sense geographically.
I didn't realize this.
Because there's a team in Tampa.
They moved Tampa to the National League in their realignment.
See,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Play them with Florida.
So this is the way the American League would look. Yeah, actually, they moved a couple teams around here. I should have caught that. So they put Toronto, New York, Baltimore, Boston. Okay. They're one. That's the AL East.
What's our
new
division?
AL North.
North.
Would be.
Don't call it the Central. By God, it's the North.
The North remembers.
The North would be Cleveland.
Winter is coming.
Detroit, Minneapolis, and Chicago.
Pardon me while I go. Ugh.
It's a yawn.
I'm cool with it. I mean, that's the thing is there's no division build that you're going to have with the guards in it that everybody's going to look at and go, yes.
Yeah. What?
I have one. I think I do. Let me.
Who's Kansas City with then? Texas?
That's right. It's still in the American League.
Texas and Houston?
Kansas City.
Or do they move Houston back?
Texas, Houston.
Yeah.
And Colorado. That's a league change on Colorado.
That's a pretty big division.
And then out west?
Out west,
Seattle.
The new AL West would be
Angels.
Seattle, Portland or Salt Lake, Vegas, and the Angels. So they had separated. I think it's also interesting that they separate. I saw another one that had the Mets and the Yankees together, had the Angels and the Dodgers together, too.
Same with the White Sox
and the White Sox and the Cubs.
If you're going to be moving teams around, okay, and they obviously did. If you're going to move teams around, how do the Guardians not end up in the same division as Cincinnati and Pittsburgh?
That's my point. I said the same thing. The league should almost mirror the NFL. Let's be honest.
Well, geography-wise, yeah.
Geography, it makes sense. But the question then becomes...
You can drive to Pittsburgh and watch a game and go home the same night.
To the playoffs becomes easier if you're a Guards fan, too.
Who is your four... Like, I think we all agree Cincinnati. I think we all agree Pittsburgh and Cleveland belong together.
Detroit. And Detroit.
Does that just make too much sense?
Well, if you're doing geography, personally, I would hate to see completely reshuffling of the American and National Leagues. I'm kind of a traditionalist when it comes to baseball.
So should it be as soft as, what was it, the Steelers, the Browns, who am I missing? Who came over?
The Colts.
The Colts.
Went to the AFC from the NFL.
Right. Would it be that sort of realignment? Would that bother you, three teams? Because in this, it's
No, it wouldn't bother me, but I we'd all get used to it. But, you know, if you're the Guardians, clearly... Geographically, that's what makes sense, right? I mean, they're the three closest teams to where we are. How do you go wrong? And if there's anybody else that should be in there, it's Toronto. If you're going to throw somebody out, but why would you throw out Detroit? Detroit and Cleveland are very, very doable. Cincinnati, right down the highway. Pittsburgh, right over, just over the state line. If you're going geography and nothing else, then that's the division. And if you're going to mix leagues, then they should. And that's what you should make the division.
So there were other ones that were out there, like Yahoo had another one where they realigned too. And then Yahoo had the Guardians in this one. They had them they realigned it without really American League and National League. They just had there's the East, the North, the Mid-Atlantic, the South, Great Lakes, Midwest, Southwest, which to me sounds like Little League.
Is that eight divisions then?
Yes.
Yeah.
I hate how everyone's throwing out eight divisions. That I hate.
Wow. I do too. You know why? One team could be good and you could have three dogs. Or you could have...
But that's true in football, too. Does it bother you in football?
No, because they actually... No, because football plays 17 games. In 162 games, you could have one team that just it has a lead by June, and it's over. If you're in a division with, you know, three of the four teams are dogs.
So I think one of the things that is key is if Nashville gets a team. Because there's no way you're not going to marry the Reds and Nashville. That's a marriage. Or Charlotte.
Why not?
Because you have a natural rivalry there. If you're going to put the Reds in the league,
why?
They're going to be in the same. Because they're relatively close.
Not as close as Cleveland and Cincinnati.
How far is Nashville from Cincinnati? Now you got me one.
And I am the last done this, person to ask geography questions.
Well, I've done this drive before. I'll look it up in a second. Let me tell you where.
Kansas City. Nashville, St. Louis.
Okay, and the Reds. That's the fourth team. According to Yahoo, what they would do is they would do Royals, Cardinals, Reds, Nashville.
The only thing that would get interesting is Nashville is a huge area for Cardinals fans. So sticking a team in Nashville.
That's where their AAA team was, right?
And so, yeah, so you would have to then, if you decided to match them with the Cardinals, I wonder how well that would do, or if maybe you would just run into Tampa 2.0, where... You're basically got this stadium, and here's Nashville. And then when the Cards come to town, good luck.
4 hour, 12 minute drive, 273 miles from Cincinnati to Nashville.
I got
so it's closer. Cincinnati's closer.
It's kind of like how they did a good job with the Nationals, keeping them in the East because there were so many Orioles fans that lived in D.C. You know, so then that way you can establish your own thing instead of just turning it into Baltimore South.
It's a 20-minute difference between Nashville and Cleveland for Cincinnati. 4:15 to Cincinnati. You've done that drive 1,000 times. Is that right, 4:15?
It's not that much from, depending on where you are. If you're in Cleveland, it's a little longer.
Just depends on where you
are.
If
you're south.
And by the way, I kind of feel like if the line for Cincinnati had them in Kentucky, you would think of Cincinnati as a southern city. They're in the South to me. I'm sorry. I'm willing to give Cincinnati up. Congratulations. We're going to annex Cincinnati. What do you think Kentucky would give us? Maybe some nice grass. I'd be okay with that.
You get a case of bourbon, Andy.
Oh, bourbon. Say. We'll do it. I'll do it for a case of bourbon.
I need more than a case of bourbon. I am losing a pretty good sized city.
How much would you want from Kentucky in a trade to get the city Cincinnati? We'll give them Cincinnati. I don't know. What do you want? What do you want? What do they have that we possibly could want? I'll take one good college basketball team. We'll move them up to Cleveland. How's that sound?
Oh, no. I'll do one better. You give me the Kentucky Derby, you can have Cincinnati.
I thought about that. Gracious. I thought about that. I want the Derby,
Churchill
they can
Downs,
have Cincinnati.
Then we'll talk.
All right. Just saying. Kevin Stefanski got moved, by the way. If you were looking for Kevin, we thought he'd be speaking around now. He didn't. What do you think about realignment? Do
this
you think Major League Baseball?
Right?
Yeah, after practice. You'll hear him on afternoon drive. What do you think about this? Should Major League Baseball expand? And would you be okay with, I don't know, say the Guardians being in the new MLB North, which would be the Blue Jays, the Tigers, the Guardians, and Pirates? 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Major League Baseball is thinking about realignment. Rob Manfred had spoken about it. Here's the commish.
Expansion, realignment, expanded playoffs. Can you see that down the road?
I can. I think that the first two topics are related in my mind. I think if we expand, it provides us with an opportunity to geographically realign. I think we could save a lot of wear and tear on our players in terms of travel. And I think our postseason format would be even more appealing for, you know, entities like ESPN because you'd be playing up out of the East, out of the West, and that 10 o'clock time slot where we, you know, sometimes get Boston, Anaheim,
yes,
would be two West Coast teams. And that 10 o'clock slot that's a problem for us sometimes becomes a real opportunity for our West Coast audience. I think the owners realize that there's demand for Major League Baseball in a lot of great cities, and that we have an opportunity to do something good around that expansion process.
And as Lima says, you don't get to hear the beat drop. audio courtesy of ESPN. The media brethren over at Fox actually came up with potential realignment. They have, in the American League, they still have the Guardians in the American League. Can't say the same for the Chicago White Sox, by the way. They have put them in the National League. This is what Fox Sports, MLB on Fox, put out there on social media about 13 hours ago. But they have the AL Northeast, AL Mid-Atlantic, AL Great Lakes, AL Southeast. Do you want to hear who's in the AL Great Lakes, the American League Great Lakes division?
Sure, I want to see who we're going to be playing against the most here in the Great Lakes.
The Detroit Tigers, the Milwaukee Brewers, the Toronto Blue Jays, and the Minnesota Twins.
All right, so that's our division, what, five teams?
You are not in that division. It is a four-team division. They have the Northeast, the Mid-Atlantic, the Great Lakes, and the Southeast. They have put two new teams in. They have a Charlotte team in the AL Southeast. They have a Portland team in the NL Northeast, Northwest. You are in the AL Mid-Atlantic. All this time, I didn't realize we were more Ric Flair than Great Lakes. We are in the same division as Pittsburgh. Okay, the Nationals would switch to the American League, and the Baltimore Orioles. So they've decided to protect a, because you have the Chicago White Sox and the Chicago Cubs in the same division. All right, makes sense. By the way, in the AL Northeast, they have the Mets and Yankees both in there. I mean, this is a pretty wild concept of all together, because I would not want to put, I just would not want to put the same city's teams in the same division in the same side. I do think part of this, I do believe, is branding. I believe there are some teams that should be safe in branding. I am willing to switch to the National League. I know the Guardians have been around for 100 years. I'm willing to switch to the National League. The Mid-Atlantic, I don't know if people at Fox or the person who put this together, which is probably the same age as Gabe over here, realize where Cleveland actually is. We're not a Mid-Atlantic state.
Well, yeah,
we're on the Great Lakes. It's literally on the Great Lakes. I can see Lake Erie.
So when most people refer to where Cleveland is, you hear Midwest. That is, even though we're in the Eastern time zone, which has always been interesting, I think, to some people.
Some people think we are Central Time. I've had friends in New York who are like Infinity Sports Network who thought I was Central Time.
But they've got, in the NL West, they've got the Cubs, they've got the White Sox, they've got the Cards, and they've got the Reds. They don't have an AL Midwest. Instead, they went with the Southeast, Mid-Atlantic, Northeast, and the Great Lakes. So there's not a Midwest combination there. You would think, okay, well, the Great Lakes. Well, obviously, Minnesota, Toronto, Milwaukee. I guess Detroit's not technically on a Great Lake.
I mean, it's
right there.
Yeah, it's,
I mean, Lake Erie kind of squeezes
Detroit's
up north
not on
into.
A great, wait a damn
well,
minute.
It's Lake St. Clair and then a tributary that flows down south.
A tributary?
Yes, and then flows down south into Lake Erie.
Well, into Windsor.
You see how it is. You see when you pull up a map. We represent Lake Erie. We are on Lake Erie.
He's right. It is a tributary that flows on down into Lake Erie. Yeah, we're on Lake Erie.
Yeah, we are on Lake Erie. So maybe they don't mean it.
You can't leave us out of the Great Lakes division.
No.
You're on a Great Lake. You can't do that. Where's Toronto? Toronto is on Lake Ontario, right?
Yeah.
Okay, they're on Lake Ontario. So they're on a Great Lake. That makes sense. Where the hell is Minneapolis, Minnesota at? They're like 150 miles away from the Great Lake.
They're very Duluth. If we were talking about Duluth, then we could extol the virtues of Lake Superior.
I've been to Lake Superior. It's a hell of a lake. It is superior to the other lakes.
Looks beautiful.
It is in the name. See, that's where it gets it. If the name is superior, then it should be superior to the other lakes. If it's the Great Lakes division, it should include teams that are on the Great Lakes. Yeah. The Guardians are on the Great Lakes. The Minnesota Twins, I'm sorry, are not on the Great Lakes. Put them somewhere else. I know you guys can't find a place to put them because this is where it seems to be where you've just taken the Guardians and Twins. And I don't know if the people who put this together know even where Minnesota is because it just seems they're willing to stick anybody anywhere. That's my issue that I might have. So it is a bit humbling in some way our life revolves around Cleveland sports teams and the Cleveland Guardians. And
so here
it seems that some 20-something-year-old who just got out of college who put this together on social media doesn't know where the hell we are.
They didn't do a very good flow chart. Because
my whole life is revolved around here.
Had they have done a flow chart and known anything about what I think fans have been asking for, fans, when we do this every time we talk about what division should we be in if we could make up a division, What do you always hear? You always hear
it's Pittsburgh, the same as the NFL.
Pittsburgh and Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Now, Baltimore, whatever. They're in our NFL division. I don't necessarily think the Orioles should be in our division, but whatever. It's not going to be perfect. Where it gets interesting is Washington. Now, that would be a fun trip, right? That would be a fun trip.
Would it?
Yeah, I love going to D.C. Now, I know one cable network is telling me D.C. is the most dangerous place on the planet.
You know,
and now you know, apparently the monuments are under attack.
I've
need the National
hearing
Guard
some
there.
Things. I've been hearing
they're
some
like,
things.
They're like in Georgetown. Yes,
they make
that's
a lot
the crime
of good
is.
Points.
But anyway, I wouldn't mind that being... I think that'd be an interesting...
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do, okay, Tone? Damn it.
I wouldn't mind that. I think that's an interesting road trip, because that's what we're talking about here, road trips. Like, would you rather go to D.C. or
to
Toronto?
Me.
I'd rather go to probably D.C., but Toronto's a nice city. I'd probably rather go to D.C.
You want to go to Baltimore on a road trip?
Don't
have
to worry
trip?
About customs. Okay, my sister, believe it or not, has been raving for work. She's had
no,
to go.
I found one.
She's had to go to work to Baltimore a bunch, and she found a couple nice pockets that she loves going to with good food. But I don't think that's a road trip. Like, you'd take D.C. over Baltimore.
You would, because there's more monuments and more history there. I ain't got nothing. The actual city of Baltimore, I ain't got nothing against. Every city has its good and bad parts. But I don't want to go on a road trip to Baltimore. I don't think that Baltimore people in Baltimore are like, yeah, we got to go on
so
a road trip.
So what would
to Cleveland.
Be your road trip cities that you'd be like, all right, that would be fun to have them in the same division so we can go to their ballpark?
Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Detroit.
Okay.
Yeah, Toronto? You're right. I need a passport to get in there, but I mean,
it's the only problem. Yeah.
Just going up there on Sunday.
Yep.
See Oasis. So yeah, I mean, as long as I got my passport ready, Toronto. That should
now,
be the Great Lakes.
How balanced are the schedules going to be? So does it even matter who's in your division in terms of the amount of times you go there? So are we going to... Is it still going to be interleague play, I imagine, right? They're still going to want all the... When they expand all of this, I guess what I'm surprised
is... interleague play.
Do you even need the four divisions in each of the ALNL or East-West, whatever you're going to do?
No.
Do you even need it? Why not just four divisions total? What is the point of having all these micro divisions?
I guess that's a great point. Maybe because of travel, because you'd play those teams more.
As I said, I don't understand the point in the NFL. And I know I take heat every time
yeah,
I say
you
it.
Do.
I don't understand why we're still doing this in the NFL.
Honestly, if we would have won a couple of more division championships since 1989, I think that we would have a different view on that. Like if you were Baltimore, Pittsburgh fans, or even Cincinnati fans, they've won a few. But if you were a Baltimore or Pittsburgh fan, I think you'd go, yeah, I don't care. Because you've won the division a bunch of times. You don't care. We haven't won one since 89. I'd like to win one because it'd be a start. Do you think Arch Manning said it to weed out the dummies? Play this audio of Arch Manning yesterday. He says, Archie, the granddad, the patriarch, he doesn't know where he got that from that he might not come out for this year's draft.
Yeah, I don't know where he got that from. He texted me and apologized about that. But I'm really just taking it day by day right now.
You think he might have done that to weed out the dummies?
I think he's probably annoyed that everybody's speaking for him.
Even Grandpa?
Yeah, that probably can't be great. Like, oh, I'm not allowed to make my own decision. I'm not allowed to
even Papa?
Be independent. Like, do you want your grandfather speaking for you? I know a lot of people out there that don't even want any relationship
with
their grandparents.
The one grandfather I would not want speaking for me, that's for damn sure. And I've told you stories off air about that one. He's a grown man, technically. Do you think there's some trouble within the family then? Because we never thought about this. We always have thought, like, Archie, whose sons are Peyton and Eli, there's going to be some manipulation. But there's a generation that's separating, and he is Cooper's son. He may very well go, hey, man, I respect you. You're not going to control my future. Now, I don't know how that's going to work. Because it seems to be where he is the strong one of the family, Archie is. Maybe that's some rebelliousness. I don't know. I got another theory about it. I'd like to share that in 5 minutes.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I want to give myself some time to breathe on the Cade Smith decision.
Which I think is the right call in this instance. Give yourself a second. You also know what you're coming into with myself over here. I am getting livid at the amount of people that are texting me, that are, you know, friends. And this is more than just John Fanta texting us, by the way. A couple other people have chimed in and been
many
like...
Many people.
And have been like, well, wait. Basically, they're confused as to how Cade Smith could be in for four outs. It's very simple. Cade Smith is a better pitcher than Hunter Gattis. Hunter Gattis should never be the equation. And if you're going to go ahead and tell me that you don't want your closer in for a four-out save, then guess what? You need a new closer. Like, that can't be the answer. All throughout baseball history, closers have been getting four outs, five outs. They've done this. This has been a thing going back until the 70s. Like, you can pitch more than just the ninth inning, and pitching for one out because you're the better pitcher did not impact what you did in the ninth inning in the slightest bit. It's like I think I'm talking to people that have never watched baseball before.
So I'm actually going to agree with you. And here's the thing. If you said earlier this season, who do you trust more with more than just a single inning, three outs, Emmanuel Clase or Cade Smith? If we're talking about more than just an inning, I trust Cade Smith more with that. Remember, Cade's whole bit last year was almost as a new version of Andrew Miller.
Right, the fireman role.
Where we didn't necessarily get two innings a spot like we did, and then when we killed Andrew's
career. You get high-leverage spots is the point, though. But you get high-leverage situations.
One in a third, one and two-thirds, and sometimes two innings.
Vogt was not treating this like any other game. Vogt was treating this like the type of game that he knew he needed to win this
and
one.
And he was trying to win it with this.
Imagine the blowback you guys would have. This is what bothers me. You guys would be in... infuriated if Hunter Gattis had given up a home run and he had not gone to Cade Smith, or he'd let Hunter Gattis have that spot. You guys would rip him for that. And rightfully so. I'd rip him too in that scenario. Like, Cade Smith is a much better pitcher than Hunter Gattis. He's your closer in this spot. You can rely on him for four outs. That's unbelievable, the amount of people that are trying to rip Stephen Vogt, who, by the way, was not perfect today in a lot of different areas, but this was not one of them, guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Like, I've seen the criticism on... pulling Parker Messick at 6 2/3. It's like, he's a rookie.
He's making his big league start.
And by the way, this kid can build off this. This is a great start for the kid.
It was fantastic. He did have a lot of traffic on there, but it was fantastic. And in the seventh inning for your big league start, what else do you want out of him? You want to pitch nine innings in his rookie, in his debut?
If I had told you you were going from Parker Messick for 6 2/3 into Gattis into Smith, you would have thought we're winning this game.
You'd say, lock it down. We got the W. And you'd also might even add the idea of, like, geez, that's where we're at with Hunter Gattis, is that he's got to be the guy in a critical eighth inning. But if that's what it has to be, whew, at least we got out of that inning.
Even the Matt Festa thing, pitching the bottom of the 10th, it's like, I mean, that's a role that is designed rigged against relievers. Like, they bunted, and then he gave up a hit. Like, there's not a whole hell of a lot you can do if you're Matt Festa. By the way, I'm over Matt Festa, too. You could have DFA'd him and Cesar Hernandez today, and I would have been quite happy. But the point is, he was the fourth guy out of the pen.
Yeah, Calvin Ball is just not fair. Anything that happens in extras, I like that baseball is doing it to get the games basically in and out and done quicker. And I think it's been a good thing for the game, but it's been proven time and time again. Extra innings in baseball is, you're not playing the same sport even. It's just, it's different. So you can't hold Festa to these crazy high standards when they bunt a guy over and then have a bloop single.
So after the Braves series loss, now you're the sweep, and now this series loss, you're going to have to go on another kind of winning spree here that is really going to have to get you back into it, because now you're in third place in the division.
Yeah, the division shot. You're 10.5 back. That's not that one's done.
Well, you're an additional team back of the wild card as well. I think the Royals are ahead of you there.
Yeah.
So it's getting bleak there very quickly. Now, should be noted, because we want to talk about this for a couple days and life has conspired against us with the Gardos game over. Rob Manfred made a lot of headlines earlier this week with his comments on potential expansion in baseball and what that could mean for realignment.
I think if we expand, it provides us with an opportunity to geographically realign. I think we could save a lot of wear and tear on our players in terms of travel. And I think our postseason format would be even more appealing for, you know, entities like ESPN, because you'd be playing up out of the East, out of the West, and that 10 o'clock time slot where we, you know, sometimes get Boston, Anaheim, would be two West Coast teams. And that 10 o'clock slot that's a problem for us sometimes becomes a real opportunity for our West Coast audience. I think the owners realize that there's demand for Major League Baseball in a lot of great cities, and we have an opportunity to do something good around that expansion process.
And there are a million ways, and that courtesy of ESPN, by the way, there's a million ways to skin a cat on this one.
Yeah.
What I will tell you is, if we get specifically to the letter of the law of geographical realignment in baseball, one, I love this stuff. Two,
you do love this stuff. You always love this stuff.
I do think this is the kind of thing that, if you get it right, has huge impacts for towns like Cleveland, where right now you really just have a rivalry problem because some of the distances that your teams have to travel.
Only concern I have in this equation is, and I thought it was highlighted by, I saw you quote tweeted somebody's suggestion last night. Who was the, I don't remember who it was.
I think that was Fox Sports.
Just Fox Sports in general.
Yeah.
So the problem with that is that you looked at it and you're like, wait a second. Guardians got the squeeze in this one, didn't they?
Yeah.
And the concern I would have is that in this setup, it would favor a lot of different teams and cities, and we would just get the squeeze. We would just be in that pot of extra teams that doesn't
try to find a place to plug it.
Yeah, and doesn't get the same consideration as, let's say, Chicago and L.A., one of those type of teams. And that's the only concern I have, is that we would look at it, me and you, and be like, well, you need to put them with the Tigers. Or maybe you redo the AFC North in football, and you basically make those teams who we play here. I'm just worried we might get overlooked.
Yeah, I think you're right to think this. And by the way, that's a symbol of poor ownership. I'm not trying to be rude on this, but if the Guardians get placed in the wrong division, it means your ownership didn't fight hard enough for the right outcome.
Fair, very fair.
This is one of the things that you can massively control. And like you mentioned, Fox Sports, they had you in the AL Mid-Atlantic with Baltimore, D.C., Pittsburgh, and Cleveland. So there is some overlap with the rivalries of Pittsburgh and in Baltimore, but like Baltimore and DC are on average 30-minute farther drives than Chicago is.
Yeah.
So whereas, okay, you no longer have the Minnesota problem, you no longer have the Kansas City problem because those are much longer drives. Well, now you've got teams you don't have any baseball history with in Baltimore and DC. And I think the Pittsburgh thing can grow into something over time.
I think the Pittsburgh thing would. I even think the Baltimore thing would. It's
weird putting them with the DC East Coast
part,
teams.
Yeah, the DC part makes no sense.
Yeah.
And again, I'm even more open to that just because if you wanted to just copy what football's divisions are in a baseball setting for the Cleveland at least, and giving us all those, I'm cool with it. It sounds good. I just think we're gonna get forgotten in this.
There's only one team I care to be in it, like legitimately think there's actually roots of a good rivalry, like a fan rivalry and a team rivalry, and that's Detroit.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think it's not a great baseball rivalry, but you've been good when they've been good the last 20 years. You've actually built something there. You haven't been able to build anything with the White Sox because they haven't been interesting since they've won the World Series.
I know, but is baseball going to look at it like we got to protect the Guardians and the Tigers, or are we going to go ahead and protect what the Tigers and the White Sox are? Because there's White Sox fans that look at the Tigers the same way the Guardians fans look at the Tigers.
So I think this is one of those things where you're trying to satisfy two pots here. One, do we have any historical traction? And the other is, can it be made better with a smaller, more competitive division? And I do think this is where that second part suddenly matters. I just think the most perfect division for the Guardians to be in is Reds, Pirates, Tigers.
Also, a question on games then. So we used to play everyone in the division 19 times each, and they moved that down to 13 times each a few years back. Do we go back up to 19 times each if it's if there's only three other teams, or do we stay at the 13?
I probably would go something to like 15 or 16. Okay, I would do like a happy medium.
Meet in the middle, okay.
Because truthfully,
you want to ramp it up with against this, but you also don't want to do too much either.
Well, and truthfully, specific to like the Cincinnati, remember, you're going to alleviate some of this, by the way, because you're going from five-team divisions to four-team divisions.
Right, so that's what I'm trying to account for. That extra 13-game slate that would have gone to the Royals, is that now just split up in the other three?
I think that would make sense. And again, 16 games for each of your three division rivals, that's only 48 games. That still leaves well over 100 games to split between all other divisions. And then I honestly think they should do, instead of the parity-based thing, which the NFL does, which is you're third place, you play this third place. I think they should do the other thing baseball has done and football does, which is this is your year to play these two other divisions on top of
four
like locked.
I like that. But I do love the idea of it puts a premium on the division you play in such an interesting way. Right, past couple of years, the AL Central has it's produced a decent amount of playoff teams. Last year in particular, where you squeezed three, and it was like, I that's fun, but it also then devalued what the AL Central is. Kind of like in football, where, yes, you can have multiple teams from each division, but because you only have four, it really puts a premium on the idea that you're playing Lamar Jackson, you're playing Joe Burrow. And if you're in a stretch where you're playing against some of the greats, that just them's the breaks. That stinks, but I think that's a good thing.
216-474-0092. What to you would be most important to see if MLB does tinker with realignment when they go to expand? And I really do think the biggest impact on the Guardians is going to be who gets the teams.
Mm-hmm.
Like Montreal and Nashville getting teams actually probably advantageous to you, because then you have more teams to isolate kind of where you are. If Portland comes in, well, all right, that's going to push another team west, which is going to push, another team east, and that's going to push you maybe more east. I really think baseball has to be really, really smart about this, including maybe up to the point of doing away with leagues, which have no functional purpose and haven't for over 30 years, or redoing it. Meaning, if you're in the NL, but the rules are the same, meaning DH
once
is still
they got,
there.
Once they got rid of once they made DH across the board, it really just kind of made everything the same.
But if you have Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Detroit, I think who is in your division has a chance to set up for better rivalries in the future for you without disturbing New York and Boston, or the Mets and Phillies, or the Cubs and Cardinals.
Listen, here's the thing. The fact that Rob Manfred is talking about this on TV tells me this is coming. He has been as emboldened as any commissioner in any of the sports to make drastic changes, because the changes he has made have universally shaped us thinking about him as a good commissioner versus a bad commissioner. He was the guy that called the World Series trophy just a piece of plastic. Now he's the guy that made games go quicker, that are more exciting, that people enjoy a 2-hour, 15-minute baseball game. So if there's ever been a commissioner that's going to be open to doing something like this, the fact that he's speaking about it publicly tells me it's coming.
Now, you could go back to, because you still have the same amount of playoff spots, you could just go back to 8-team divisions.
Well, so they've been arguing, though. They've been trying to get 7 for as long as now they have, you know, the initial thing that Rob Manfred wanted was 8.
Yeah.
And he tried to argue with the TV.
Which could happen with expansion.
Well, I feel like baseball is trending for more and more and more with each passing, because it's what Manfred has clearly wanted it, and there's been pushback in the baseball community for years on this. But the initial ask was 8. He tried going down to 7, and now you see where we're at right now. Like, they have been trying to get this as large of a field as they possibly can. So like any suggestion you have in that regard, it's probably going to happen too.
Would you do 4-team divisions or 8-team divisions?
I like 4-team divisions.
I think it's really clean.
Yeah, I think the premium on it's nice. And I like having the impact of who you play in your division mattering so much. And if you're up against a juggernaut in your division, tough break.
216-474-0092. So my geographical realignment has Guardians, Reds, Pirates, Tigers in a division. The Athletic has Twins, White Sox, Guardians, Tigers. So basically keeping the AL Central together minus the Royals. Which one do you favor for the Cleveland Guardians? And in case you missed it, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. All right, we talked about Myles Garrett. We'll talk about that at some other point. I'm tired of it at this point. So you heard what he had to say, and
slow down.
Yeah, slow down. Can we end it at that? Myles, slow down. End of story. So that way we don't talk about it.
Drive the speed limit. Be safe. We love you. We want you around a long time. We don't want you to have any issues. Slow down.
216-474-0092. While you were sleeping last night, the Guardians slipped into third place because Kansas City won their fifth game in a row. And so now Kansas City is sitting in second behind Detroit, 65-61. They're 9 games back of the Tigers, who a week ago when the Guardians were just 5 games back, everyone was like, they still got a shot at the Central. Now as they tinker on the edge of being 10 games back, that doesn't feel real good.
See ya.
Is the end near, or is it the end? I think has happened in the Central. Wild card still lives though, but they're 64-61. They're 9.5 back on the Tigers in the AL Central. And then if you want to look at the wild card race, the way they sit now, Kansas City, as they slip past them in the AL Central. That means they also slip past them in the wild card race. So it's funny, 2 days ago, the Yankees, Mariners, and Red Sox were all dead even. Today, the Yankees have a one-game lead. Seattle and Boston also hold wild card spots, while the Royals sit just a mere 2.5 back, and the Guardians are sitting at 3 back. So that's where you're at on that. What?
Who are you, like Walter Winchell?
What?
Just a mere 2 games back.
Oh, well, thank
you. A mere.
You sound like King of the Hill there for a second. You're Hank Hill. That's kind of a Hank Hill you had going on there.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, that
it was Tom Anderson, Andy. Damn it. Damn it. Damn it.
Have you seen the new ones?
New Beavis and Butthead?
No, not Beavis and Butthead. King of the Hill.
I watched Beavis and Butthead, not King of the Hill.
Oh.
I believe we are getting new Beavis and Butthead, though, at some point.
So are we really?
They're already out.
Wow. Oh, they are.
Yeah.
I just find it, Jeff, you're probably, and this is a compliment, you're probably one of the most straight-laced guys I know. And the fact that you love Beavis and Butthead is just so, like, out of character for you.
Have you seen the top of the mountain, Andy?
I have not, Jeff.
It is good.
I will say, when SNL did their Beavis and Butthead skit 2 years ago, that was hysterical. All right, so looking at the Guardians, Jeff, have they reached the top of the mountain and now everything's down?
No, they haven't. That's the problem, Andy.
Why?
You know what this team is?
I have no idea what
they
are.
What did you say the record was, 64 and 61?
They are currently sitting at 64 and 61. They are what their record says they
are. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
They're a slightly okay baseball team right now. And in order to become more than that, they got to get hot. And I don't know that they will. You know, we mentioned real early in the show, Tanner Bibee, who I like a lot. I like Tanner. I like the way he pitches. He's been leaving the ball up a lot this year. He's getting hit hard, giving up a lot of home runs. He's given up 4 or more runs in 8 of his last 9 games. And agreed, guys, he was the number one guy going into the season. He was their ace.
Yep.
And that hasn't worked. He's been okay, and I'm sure he'll be fine long term, but he's not having the best of years. And their other starting pitching is young and learning. It's not bad. I like it. But it's not there. It's not locked in yet. And I think it just needs some time to mature. And they don't have enough hitters. That's, you know, if you're Tanner Bibee and you give up 4 runs in 8 of 9 starts with this offense, you're not going to win games. I mean, you might win a couple here and there. Last night they scored more than 4. But, you know, if he's going 5, 6, 7 innings and you're giving up 4 runs, maybe the other team's not done scoring. Their pitching has to be really good to make up for an offense that's not that great all the way around.
This is like the craziest stat of all. So the Royals have a half game lead on the Guardians. Go, let's just play the wild card game on this, right? So the Royals.
And they can't hit either.
They're dead even. They've scored exactly the same amount of runs as they've given up all season. That's weird.
But it's not a whole lot of runs.
Well, here's what's insane to me. Like, and this just shows you how the pitching has carried the team this year for the Guardians. The Rangers have scored almost 80 more runs than the Guardians, yet the Guardians are only 3 back and the Rangers are 6 back. Does that seem weird? I mean, they have a 3-game lead on the Rangers, and the Rangers are plus 46. The Guardians are minus 33, which takes you to 79.
You know, in theory, you could lose 60 games 10-1.
True.
And you'd be a 100-win team.
Yeah.
So, though I think that's a really interesting and telling stat, because it combines your offense with your pitching, does it not?
Yes.
I mean, that's what it does.
Yeah, it does.
And so, clearly, one part of that can be lacking for a team, and you have issues, and it's lacking with the hitting side for our team. Pitching's been okay.
All right, so let me ask you, speaking of pitching, they're going to start Parker Messick tonight. Yep. First start ever.
This afternoon,
you're right, it's an afternoon game.
I think it's a 3:40 start.
What does that say about where they are? Yeah, are they developing, or are they trying to win?
I'll say trying to win, and I'll say it for this reason.
Okay.
Something they didn't like about Joey Cantillo. I'm still trying to figure that out. Apparently, the idea was they wanted to throw more strikes. Okay, I get it. And that control was a little bit of an issue. One of the front office guys said that when he was talking with Matt and Rick during a game. And also mentioned it to reporters. They want him to throw more strikes. Okay. Except Joey looked like he's been pretty good. And you don't have Luis Ortiz anymore. So you were looking for somebody there, and they decided maybe Cantillo's not the guy. One thing about Parker Messick, maybe the time's just right, Andy. He was a second-round draft choice.
Right.
I mean, the guy was highly thought of coming out of Florida State, second-round pick, and he has moved up quickly. Last year, he started last season in Lake County.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was in Akron. This year, he's been in AAA the whole time. You don't look at wins and losses very often in the minor leagues as a great sign of success, but his ERA, pretty solid, 3.47. Most importantly, Andy, he's from Plant City High School in Florida.
Former home of the Reds, right?
Alma mater of Wade Boggs.
Oh, well, that's all that matters.
Pete Alonso.
They have big strawberries. That's
Jack
a big strawberry.
Jack Caglione, who was a first-rounder last year.
Uh-huh.
Kyle Tucker and the comedian Gallagher.
Oh, wow. Well, fair
Pass
enough.
The watermelon and the sledgehammer. Here
Look
we go.
You. Wait, I didn't know you were doing obscure facts. We would have got you music for that.
No, I didn't need it. That's it. I'm done.
Plant City was a former home of the Reds, right? It's kind of halfway between Tampa and Orlando.
I want to see Parker Messick throw. Let's see. He's built like us, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah.
He's
225.
When I go
he's not
that.
Your great big 6'6", lanky lefty. Built like a linebacker. Let's go out and throw like a linebacker.
Just kind of looking at his life. I mean, he hasn't given up.
He's been good.
Yeah, he has been good.
I mean, guy was a second-round pick. This organization identifies college pitching. They draft college pitching. They develop college pitching. So that's why I can't say, Andy, well, you're giving up on the pennant race because you're starting this guy. No, you drafted this guy to be a starter for you. I mean, you drafted a guy in the second round to be part of your rotation. So maybe they just think, hey, now's the time. He's more ready to help us win than Joey Cantillo.
So Maybe. You don't see this as developmental, like let's get a young guy up here to get him ready for next season. I don't like putting words in. You see this as a guy that could have some instant impact, and he's going to keep this team in the race.
My hope is this. He gives them a chance to win today's game, and then they'll see what they do from there. Maybe they just sent Cantillo down and wanted them to miss a start. What is it? You got to send a guy down, he's got to stay there 10 days? Maybe he stays there 10 days and
Unless
comes back.
Unless you have an injury, right?
Yeah. So, I don't think starting Parker Messick is raising the white flag. In fact, it might be, hey, this guy's going to give us a chance to win. Let's go get him now.
Dan, what do you think? White flag or win now?
It's the guards. They do such a good job of just threading that needle in between developing guys for the future and being able to compete in the current.
Sure do. With pitching especially.
With pitching, and it frustrates the hell out of all of us.
Yep.
To no end. Because we wish they would pick a lane and just stick with it because we think it'd be for the better of the franchise, but yet they continue to do it, and it continues to work.
Can you tell I like Joey Cantillo?
A smidge.
I'm a little surprised they sent him down. Maybe it was something with Logan Allen last year.
Mm-hmm.
Something that he was doing they didn't like, and they felt we get back down there and figure it out. Which Logan's done a pretty good job. Honestly, the problem with this starting rotation to me, Andy, right now, in the past, they usually had one guy who you thought, well, that guy's nails.
Right.
It was Corey Kluber. It was Shane Bieber. Now they've got a bunch of guys who you think, I like him. He could really develop into something.
Yeah, I feel good about that. There's a lot of guys like that. Yeah.
But they don't have that guy. Oh, Bieber's pitching today. Good. Got a great chance to win. Let's go.
All right. I want to talk about this in the next segment. I'm bringing it up real quick right now. And if you want to chime in next segment, you're more than welcome to. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Rob Manfred was doing Little League stuff, right? Is that where he was?
Commish, baby. Yeah.
The classic over the weekend, which is why you saw all the fun bats everybody was using and fun cleats and all that stuff.
And so he brought up the theory of perhaps not only expansion, but realignment. And so that got everybody going on all these stories. Like, all you need to do is Google MLB realignment, and you'll see that there's everyone's got the way they think it should look. When we come back, I want to ask you about this, Jeff. Is it important that there are certain teams the Guardians should be playing that would be beneficial for the fans, for the organization? Because you remember, like, when they split off before, and, you know, people, it's hard to believe that the Guardians / Indians were in the same division as the Yankees, and they just could never get there, and the Red Sox, right, and Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And so it was hard, and so the best thing that ever happened was the Central, at least I think so, for this organization, the franchise. So I want to look at some of these realignments that are out there right now, and I want your take on that. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. I bet he reports on those press conferences that Dan Manigan loves so
well,
much.
Well, good, then I don't have to have you ask me that question next week. That's the best news I've heard all day.
See? Telling you. That's how we roll.
That was Daryl. Guardians
are you,
last
are you
night.
Over it? Are you okay? Are you better?
Yeah, you all right, Dan?
We'll get it fixed. About you. Oh, now you're not speaking to us.
Kevin's coming up at 1:15.
We'll get it fixed.
Guardians last
speak to
night.
Us in drops for the rest of the show. Great.
Guardians last night, a 3-1 winner over the Arizona Diamondbacks. The way the offense has been as of late, I'm not going to be picky or choosy. All three runs coming on a couple of home runs from guys who you wouldn't expect to be hitting home runs right now. C.J. Cephas, not exactly a power hitter, but obviously has some punch.
Who cares, man? I am on the Cephas bandwagon.
Yeah, he's done a nice job. And
plenty of room for you guys.
Brian Rocchio hitting a home run last night as well. Gavin Williams started, Andy. And again, my concern was, because we've seen it happen too many times.
Yeah, you destroyed the game for me yesterday.
A pitcher gets overextended, and he did when he was attempting to throw the no-hitter. They let him stay out there. Mm-hmm. And I get it. I understood it completely. Mm-hmm. But he ended up throwing 126 pitches, most thrown by any pitcher in a major league game this year.
Oh,
at least at the time he threw it.
The horror. The horror that he threw more pitches than anybody else in Major League Baseball. It was a great game. It was a lot of fun. And I sat
You do know this arm injury thing is real, right?
I get it. But you know what? Every once in a while, you can let a guy go.
Exactly.
Maybe. Should he have had somebody up in the bullpen after he gave up the home run? Yes, he should have. But how many bullets did he waste on that afterwards? What, 10?
Well, I think he immediately got somebody up in the bullpen.
Yeah, so right maybe then. He threw 10 more pitches.
But you didn't have anybody up beforehand because you didn't want to kind of jinx it. So I get it.
Totally.
But last night in 5 1/3, he threw 99 pitches, no runs on 4 hits, and he struck out 5. So after having a subpar outing, first time out after the almost no-hitter, back to being Gavin Williams last night, still threw a lot of pitches, but that's okay. But he looked good, and I will now leave the whole, did he throw too many? I hope it doesn't affect him the rest of the way. That's gone, because last night erased that in my mind.
Well, he only threw 7, so he's even, right? If you look at the average number of pitches he throws in a month, first of all, he's normally good for one game a month. Once every 4 weeks, they let him go to 100 or over 100 pitches in a game. And if you also look at, they were very strategic in his next game against Miami. He only lasted 3 innings, so that was a bad
part. Yeah, that's because he wasn't pitching very well.
And he only threw 75 pitches. So.
Because he wasn't pitching very
well. So he refreshed the old machine there, and he got more bullets in there. So he's good to go.
Okay. Well, there you go. He looks like a staff ace, Andy.
He does.
You know, he looks like the type of guy that could be the big horse on this pitching staff for some time. And I like that. They drafted him high, they developed him nicely, and here he is. And this is after last year when he had those issues and just wasn't able to pitch very much.
6'6", 250, that's lean, don't you think? 250 at 6'6"?
I don't know.
He looks bigger. Maybe he just looks bigger than...
Well, he's 6'6".
Yeah.
And he's not skinny. He's not skinny.
Yeah, but 250 doesn't seem a little skinny for 6'6", if you ask me.
Well, he doesn't look it.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. I don't know. Maybe he's still got some. He's got a little bit of a baby face. So
well, here he is. You know, and I like his future, and I can't wait to see where he goes. I like this team's starting rotation. Now your guy Slade Ciccone, he's had a little bit of a rough go last couple of starts. Word is his pitches don't have quite the bite, quite the action that they did have. That can happen. You know, as you start to throw a lot of innings and you get a little tired. wear down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That can happen.
Especially now. I mean, these are the dog days, and it's hot, and you're throwing, and, you know.
Well, that's baseball.
Yeah, I know, but just
better than cold and throwing.
I don't know. What do you think the perfect temperature to throw at is? 80?
I have no idea.
82, 81?
Anything above 70 is just swell. Anything above 65 is good.
Looking at me like I'm crazy. I can't believe you asked that question.
Anything below 60 is a little chilly.
I've just never thought of it.
I'm surprised you don't know that, Mr. Analytics. Maybe sometimes they're like, oh, Gavin Williams won.
Wow, why is he taking that shot there?
What do you mean?
That does.
You're going to tell me that pitchers who throw in hotter weather, that they're not affected by the weather?
It's better. It's better for them. It's looser.
To throw.
They stay loose.
Yeah, but then maybe you get fatigued quicker because it's so hot.
Good. It's all right.
That's why we have relievers?
It's all about keeping the body healthy, Andy. That's why you have concern about Gavin Williams.
You would think there would be deep analytics on what's the best temperature for any given pitcher to throw it. Right?
You can put on, you know, warm shirts and you make up for it.
That's true. You can put some of that, not microfiber.
Fancy stuff.
Whatever jerseys they wear. The skin-tight microfiber kind of jerseys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that takes care of that.
Dan's looking at us crazy because this isn't like real baseball stuff, because we're actually talking about elements that happen to everybody in the world and not war or whatever.
Chickens are dying every day, people, at churches, Popeyes, and Kentucky Fried Chicken.
The rest of the show is going to be like quick predicts. He's now not going to talk. Okay.
Can I give you some news you're not going to like?
Because he's tired, he's going to go up in the stands and sell beer.
Can I give you something you're not going to like to hear?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
5 games at AAA, Travis Bazzana's hitting .214.
He just got there.
I know. I'm just saying. Can I give you some news you might like?
Yeah, does that have to do with Cooper, the sandwich?
Cooper Engel in 4 games at AAA is hitting .300.
Like someone's going to come and get him.
Maybe.
I'd be happy if they brought Cooper Engel up at this point. I'm good. What's Bo? Bo had a home run. Bo had 4 hits 2 days ago.
Bo's swinging the bat a little bit better.
And they didn't win. How does that happen? Bo Naylor has 4 hits in a game and they didn't win. They just let it slip away. That sucks.
Are you concerned that 3 games with this team is too much to make up in the wild card?
Not right now, I'm not. When that calendar turns, yes.
September?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, in other words, make a little run here in the last 11 days of the month?
It'd be nice if they could.
We have 31 in August, 30 days past September, April, June, and November. 31 days this month?
I had to check. Yes, 31 in August.
Are you concerned? 3? See, with the Yankees, Mariners, and Red Sox ahead of them for the wild card.
And by the way, is that not bizarre? Did anybody look? I know you're not talking to us, but did you look at the standings this morning? All 3 of them are tied for the wild card spot. They're all even. So
they don't have the same record, but they're even in games behind.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I just find that very
unbelievable.
Very, well, it's interesting. I mean, you play, how many games have they played now? And they're all in a dead heat heading into the last month of the season.
You'll have that.
I don't know.
It's tight.
Yeah, I don't.
It's tight.
What are the odds of that happening?
Well, here's the thing.
Probably not good.
Here's the thing. Odds are not all 3 of those teams, New York, Seattle, Boston, will play well down the stretch. You got to think one of them might slip a little bit, and that's where the Guardians need to take advantage.
I agree. But if you ask me what 3 teams are going to make the wild card spot, Seattle, New York, and Boston, all 3 of them, unless they win.
You're not picking our team. You don't think?
I would say the money's on them. I feel like their teams are better.
I would agree with that. I think Kansas City is built to make a little bit of a run.
Seattle's got a shot, though, to catch Houston. So, you know, they're only a game and a half back on them.
It's fascinating because here we are in August, and it's exactly what a baseball fan wants. You're in a pennant race, and that's a good thing. 216-474-0092, number to join us if you want to talk Guardians. Kevin Stefanski will be speaking to the media coming up at 1:15 about his decision to make Joe Flacco the starting quarterback for Week 1. Kevin, straight ahead, right here on The Fan.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find The Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.